and welcome.
We are going for liftoff in T-minus 13 nails after launch. Go to the standby team and then
please listen carefully.
Welcome back to Let's Get Busy. We're here with Heather Zimmerman today, the Folk Festival director.
Yeah.
How are you doing today, Heather?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So getting into it, how did you get started with the Kutztown Folk Festival?
Well, I had about 30 years that I worked in the hotel business, and I most recently was working at the Hampton Inn in Kutztown, which the Kutztown University Foundation, they own that hotel. And they got to know me, and they needed a director for the folk festival, and they thought that I had some, you know, good marketing and ideas to kind of give it a facelift and a little bit of freshness. So they asked me if I wanted to apply, and I took on the new challenge, and here I am. So 3 years later.
Right. So yeah, I was just going to ask. It's been
3 years
since you took it.
3 years, yes.
And I know your first year, I was actually on the team for the reopening. It was after the COVID summer and everything. We didn't have the festival.
For two years.
Right. And I was a part of that team that we had our work cut out for us.
You did.
To get everything back to the original state. But it's been great the past 2 years that I've been working there. It's been a great turnout, and it's really turned around. So, what is the history of the festival and its significance? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So the festival has been around since 1950. It is the nation's longest continuously running folklife festival. And it was started by some professors, actually, who wanted to do a celebration of our local culture. So I think it was only like a weekend type of event in the beginning. And since then, you know, it's grown to 9 days. And, you know, we average about 40 to 50,000 visitors over the 9 days. It's an actually internationally known festival. We have quite a few people that come from Germany, and they're very interested in the Pennsylvania Dutch culture. So, I mean, years ago, they used to like have butchering and slaughtering of animals as part of it and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And obviously we don't do that now, but it's evolved into having a lot of, you know, craftsmen come from all over the country, entertainers. And we also have a seminar stage where they still do a lot of the same discussions and talks that they've done since the beginning of the festival to talk about Pennsylvania Dutch culture and keep it alive. So really that's our purpose, even in 2024, is to keep that little segment of our culture alive and well and honor what they started back in 1950. So.
Right. So along those lines, I know you said we have the seminar stage. I do remember that. Patrick comes over too and builds and paints hex signs as the festival is going on. So along those lines, how does the festival contribute to preserving the Pennsylvania Dutch culture and traditions?
That's a really good question. So obviously, one of the goals of the festival is when the festival makes money, we actually you know, give that back to different organizations. We also support the Barn Star Preservation Fund, which is people can have their hex signs repainted on their barns and buildings throughout the county. We help support that. We also help support the Pennsylvania German Cultural Heritage Center, not money-wise, but more just, you know, we work hand-in-hand with them to keep to do different seminars and presentations. And obviously they play a huge role in the festival with painting the hex signs, the barn stars, and talking about our culture there. So we also support Dr. Bill Donner, and he, the Pennsylvania Germans studies minor at Kutztown. So there's just a lot of things that we do to get out there and try and keep the culture alive. So,
all right, that's awesome. So can you discuss a little bit about how you get your craftsmen and performers and everyone that you do bring into the festival every year? Because I know there's a lot that come back every year.
Yeah.
And it's also bringing in new ones every year.
Definitely bringing in new ones too, because as you can, you know, as you can tell, we're an old festival, and we actually have, we have a few people that were there since the very beginning of the festival. Lester Miller is one of our performers. He is, I think, 89, and he's been there since the beginning. Verna Dietrich is one of our vendors with Dietrich's Meats. She's been there since the beginning. So some of our vendors are aging out. You know, they're at a point now where they need to retire because it's grueling. You know, 9 days in the heat and, you know, all day long is hard. So we do have a lot that return. We're very, very lucky to have that. But then we also have to, we go to different shows and craft fairs and other, you know, type of events and go up to vendors and say, hey, we think you would be a good fit at our festival. Would you consider applying? And we have gotten some by doing that. Our craftsmen also say, hey, I have a friend that does this. Would you be interested in them applying? And we always say yes. So as far as performers, we work with Dave Klein. He is one of our performers, but he's also our stage manager for the main stage and the Hoedown stage. And he has tons of contacts. So he really reaches out and helps us get, we always have our, you know, tried and true favorites every year, but then he tries to get us some new people too, to keep it fresh.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
Right, and the Hoedown stage, that's Lester Miller's
yes,
now.
Yes, that's his, now his stage. We dedicated that stage to him last year. We had a sign painted, and that's now his stage, so.
Right, and I know he brings in a ton of people.
Ton of people.
Family of 50.
Just his family. His family alone is a lot. But yes, there's the festival, I don't know what will happen when Lester's not there, because he's really, he's a major, major part of that.
He's so. Definitely a staple.
Oh, yeah. And he every year he goes, I don't know if I'm coming back. And he does that to give me a heart attack. But he's ready to roll this year. So his family, they're wonderful people.
Right. And obviously, we can't go through this without talking about Barry, our favorite
classroom. Barry, I think he's been there over 20 years. Barry Benikoff at the Country Carpenter. I used to call him the Old Country Carpenter, and he's like, why'd you put old in there? I'm like, I don't know. I thought that was part of your thing, but it isn't. He's amazing. Beautiful work that he does. I mean, his furniture and stuff is just amazing. But he does double duty, so he is our setup director and in charge of making sure the grounds get set up prior to the festival, and then he rolls right into the 9 days of being a vendor. So he's a pretty amazing guy for 70 years old.
Yeah, he is. I will say, when my parents came to the festival 2 years ago, they were walking around, obviously looking at everything. It only took one sit in Barry's Adirondack. Oh. And my dad's like, all right, I'll take
this. They're so nice. I mean, his stuff is so, and it's all handmade. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So
him and his wife, Kay, it's every morning when they show up at 7 a.m., they're bringing new stuff in.
Yes.
Because people pretty much take it out of his display.
Oh, yeah. They just buy it right then and there. And I mean, I don't know how people walk around that festival with like a big cabinet. They figure out a way to get it, you know, to their car and stuff. But his stuff is beautiful.
Right. I don't know. He definitely, he offers free delivery, but his free deliveries, he gets on the walkie-talkie and calls
out. Yeah, you're the delivery. That's right.
Says, hey, I got a 500-pound cabinet that needs to be loaded in a woman's back.
Because Barry is a little bit smaller than you guys. So.
Right. So what role does a local community play in the festival, and how do you engage with them?
So, I mean, we really feel like even though we are an internationally known event, we are Kutztown community's big event, you know, and we offer free admission to the local community for the last 2 hours of the festival. Anybody who lives in Kutztown gets in for free as a thank you for, you know, supporting us. We try to engage with the businesses downtown because we want them to benefit from the fact that there's 40 to 50,000 people in our little town during the summer. We'd like them to, you know, go to the local bars, the restaurants, the shops, and so forth, and experience what Kutztown has to offer. Now that we have a hotel in the area, you know, people might stay more than one day and then, you know, maybe go to Crystal Cave or go to the wineries or, you know, shop downtown. So engaging in our community and making sure that we are letting our visitors know what they offer is important to us because we want them to be successful too.
Right. And I can attest to that too. Going around town to the local shops and everything while we're working, people always notice us as the Folk Fest crew.
Exactly. It's kind of like a, you know, we kind of have a little bit of fame in Kutztown, you know, for that reason. But, you know, some people also, that was their first job. You know, they have worked at the festival. Usually everybody's, you know, kid has worked there. They've worked there. Or they played a role at the festival. They've been a vendor. Their parents were, whatever. So it's, there's a lot of history and a lot of memories associated with it for people.
Right. So like you said, it's a very well-renowned festival internationally. I know over the past 2 years, I've seen that it's been up for a nominee for a top 10 article of the cultural festivals in USA Today.
Yep. So. Last year, we won number two. We were right behind the Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington, D.C., which is, you know, their sponsor is like Toyota, you know, so they're like huge, huge festival. I think they're more like a month long type event. So to fall to number two to them, you know, for Little Kutztown, Pennsylvania, that was pretty big for us. This year, we're holding our own at number three. Voting stops on March 18th. So we're behind the Aloha Festival in Hawaii and a festival in Louisiana, in New Orleans. So, again, it's really cool publicity and PR for Kutztown in general because obviously it's not just the festival. We want to, you know, we're right next to Kutztown University. We, you know, have other things in our area that hopefully will benefit from some of that notoriety. So.
Right. I know the university definitely does. We have Rich Hicks comes and helps. Yes. He's very big involved in the Alumni Association. Yes. And he's always helping with the festival crew.
Absolutely.
As I worked there, we had a lot of football guys work there over the summer that got very close with Rich. And he always said,
absolutely,
go sit at the Kutztown table for a couple hours and market, market the school a little
bit. It's true. Well, it's great because we're right next door, you know. So, for instance, my niece, she's a graduate of Lehigh. And she came to the festival. She lives in Jersey. She grew up in Jersey. And she came this year and she said, her and her fiance walked around the Kutztown and said, oh my gosh, I had no idea how beautiful this campus was. And, you know, so we're hoping other people are like, oh my gosh, you know, right next door. I mean, if I would have been here with my parents and I would have been in high school, my parents would have been like, you need to go look at that school, you know, and think about going there. So we think other people think that as well. And, you know, just that being right next door is super important. And you're right. We have a professor from Kutztown that works at our info booth. We have other alumni that come and our greeters. We have obviously the football players. That association has been great for us. We actually this year just started asking on our application if our craftsmen graduated from Kutztown because a lot of them have fine art degrees and stuff. So we're going to note that on their booth that they're a KU grad. So I think that's pretty cool too. And I'm a KU grad too. So it's just neat to kind of keep that in the family.
Right. And I don't even know if I've mentioned that yet, that I have worked at the festival the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Me and my roommate, who are both football guys, we were up here in the summer training. I know one of our assistant coaches was up here in the summer. So it's a great summer job.
Yep.
Great hours, great pay. And then this past year, we had a lot more guys get involved because they hear about
absolutely,
obviously, how, like, it's good hours. It helps. It works around our football schedules.
Right.
It's also a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe you say it's a lot of fun. I always look at you guys because it's you guys really put in the hard, hard work. But it's also fun if you're with your friends, you know, and people that you like being, work is not that bad if you're around people you like. So we try to make it as decent as possible. The hours are pretty much Monday through Friday until the festival actually hits for those 9 days. But usually by the festival time, the setup crew gets a little breather. It's not quite as bad, you know. So we're hoping to work with the football team again this year because, as you said, it works great for their schedules and stuff, and it's perfect for us. So
definitely. And our coach promotes that too, yeah, that this is a great summer opportunity, especially for guys that can stay up here in the summer.
Right.
It obviously works around our schedules.
Perfect.
It's not on the weekends. We can go to camps and things like that.
Get a break.
Yeah. Right. And obviously we get to work under Barry. He's the man.
He is.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
But back to like the educational side of the festival, what are some insights that you talked about the seminar stage and how it's involved with the Pennsylvania Dutch Cultural Festival here at Kutztown? So what kind of workshops and demonstrations does the seminar stage do? And Patrick over at the Cultural Center, what kind of educational things do they do?
They do quite a bit of things. Bill Donner does a discussion on Pennsylvania dialect, Pennsylvania Dutch dialect. We also have Dr. Harry Serio, who is a pastor, and he talks about spirituality in Pennsylvania Dutch culture. I believe Patrick Demoyer does something on like medicinal healings and stuff that they believed in. Along with that, this year we're going to have a special exhibit, and this is an educational piece on Mountain Mary. She's a healer from the Ole Valley from the 1800s. She's in our local history books, and we're going to have like an entire section dedicated to her because we feel like people... Like if we make it fun and interesting, they don't even really realize that they're learning too, you know, we kind of make it educational and fun. And then in addition to the seminar stage and the different people that get up there and talk about various topics, our craftsmen also demonstrate. So they're, you know, people are learning woodworking and pottery and, you know, weaving and painting and so forth. So even when they're visiting jewelry making, when they're visiting these different craftsmen, they're watching that right there. And I had somebody mention to me that their son, you know, when he was like junior high or high school, went to the festival and saw a potter making things, and he is now a pretty famous potter and is an artist in residence somewhere. So I think it inspires people, you know, they see this, they get to talk to someone live right there. The hex sign painters, they're amazing. They talk about what they mean, how they paint, which is a whole like interesting process. So even throughout the whole festival, we have those moments of educational opportunities for everybody.
Right. So piggybacking off of that, we keep talking about these hex signs, hex signs painting and meaning.
Yeah.
Can you go a little bit in depth? What is a hex sign, the meaning behind it, and the Pennsylvania Dutch culture behind it?
Yeah. So I think originally they were done just to kind of decorate barns. And what my understanding is, it's called a barn star if you see the sign on a building. So if it's attached to a building, it's a barn star. A hex sign, if it would be if it's something you want to like just bring home, or we have one of our artists, Eric Claypool, makes Christmas ornaments, so that would be like a hex sign. They're really brightly colored signs that have, you know, birds and different symbols on them and so forth that are assigned different meanings. One of my friends bought one for her garden, and it was like the meaning behind it. The scalloped edges was like smooth sailing, and, you know, was guarding against pestilence and all this other stuff. So it's really, really cool. And we have Eric Claypool. He's probably our most, you know, renowned one that we have right now. His dad, Johnny Claypool, was one of the original people at the Folk Festival doing, you know, painting and making these signs. So he kind of inherited that. Robert Maletsky is a new vendor. He's also a hex sign painter. We have Rachel and Hunter Yoder. And then Ivan Hoyt, who just retired. He's been with us about close to 40 years, and he was a hex sign and painter. But they're really brightly colored. They have all different meanings. People are fascinated by them, especially people from out of town. I grew up around in this area, and so my grandparents had one, and I was used to seeing them. But people from like New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, you know, Philadelphia even are like, what is this thing? You know, they're really cool looking. So, and what's neat is our painters are painting them right there, and they're talking to the people about them. So,
right. And we obviously set up a massive hex tree.
Yes,
I've seen plenty of clay pools in
my
day.
Yes. You definitely have.
Yes. So the hex tree is actually a big staple of the festival.
Very
too,
cool.
Along with the big chair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some weird stuff like that. But yeah, traditions.
Two things that I didn't really know whatever
yeah.
they were
yeah.
that, until I started working there. And then
right.
you kind of learn the history behind them. That is
yep.
pretty cool. And
it
about
is
the
cool.
hex signs.
The colors are really neat. And, you know, people gravitate towards that. My friend who has one, she's in Colorado, and she has it on the side of her garage in her garden. When all her friends come over, they're like, what is that thing? Because they're out there, and she grew up here, but she's like, oh, it's a hex sign, and, you know, explaining it. So it's kind of neat how it's they, you know, get to travel all over the U.S. with people.
Definitely. So what are your favorite festival foods or activities that you think everybody should try?
Well, the foods, I don't think you could go wrong. You know, I get my orange drink every day, my famous orange drink. I have to have that. I love all the foods that all the stands make. I mean, you have to have funnel cake. You know, you have to have that. The cinnamon rolls in the morning smell amazing. I think that's a big thing. It's just you walk through the festival and everything just smells delicious. You know, you smell the sausage sandwiches from Vince, and, you know, the drinks from Eight Oaks Distillery are great. You know, we have Roar City Beer, ice cream from Nesting Box Creamery, you know, so there's just so many places I've hit. Usually the drinking, I tend to wait till I'm off duty to do that, but they're delicious. And we have a wood-fired pizza. I had dill pickle pizza, which was really good. But yeah, you really cannot go wrong. All the foods are, and ice creams and desserts. The Strawberry Festival, we have like a little, one of the churches does a nice stand with fresh strawberry shortcake. So yeah,
right.
All good. Kutz fries, you know, all those great things.
I know you mentioned Vince's sausage stand.
Yeah.
And he also does the ox roast.
Oh, the ox roast. Huge, huge. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so interesting. And that's a huge process. We have a lot of information about that on our website, because that's a lot of preparation. It's very heavy to carry it, you know. But the brisket, the beef that comes off of that, is delicious. And he does that a few days during the week for everybody, and talks about how it's prepared and so forth. And you can buy a sandwich, and they're really good.
Definitely. He's started to become the last few days of the festival, he really puts one on the open fire.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Roasts it all night long.
Oh, God, they're amazing. Yeah.
So good. But like I said, the festival, he's kind of turned it into a tradition that gathers a big crowd to go. He has a refrigerated trailer right there with about three of the ox bodies that we will put on a forklift and bring over and kind of all throw on our shoulders and bring over to his to his pit. So that's definitely something that attracts a crowd. There's always cameras on us when we do that.
I know. People are fascinated by that. And also the process. I mean, he has to make sure he has people there overnight to keep it going. It's a big deal. So
right.
People love it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it though. I've had a couple of those sandwiches.
Oh, I know. They're so good. I know. I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the festival. I figure I'm like, I might as well hit them all while I'm here. So.
Right. Yeah. And I'll say we mentioned the cinnamon rolls. Oh. Nate the baker, he's the man. And he,
oh my gosh, they're delicious.
He can make a cinnamon roll.
Occasionally, he'll bring one like to the office for me, and I'm like, it's, like sitting on my desk when I come back in. I'm like, oh, this is like starting the day off the right way. You know, it's really good.
Right, and that's one of the perks of working there. Oh, yeah. We get to help these vendors.
That's
if they
right.
need to carry things from their car. We'll bring it up in the carts
then
for
they
them.
Then they hook them up.